everyone, both those of you here in the worship center and those of you joining us online as we continue, as actually we wrap up this message series titled Heroic Faith. Heroic Faith. I don't know about you, but one of the things that's become clear to me through this message series, and we've touched on it in several ways, is that, hey, life is not always easy. Amen? Sometimes I have to remind myself that, you know, this world is not heaven. Hello? This world is not heaven. The Lord willing, one day things are going to be different. But until then, sometimes life is not easy. Life is not easy. The story is told of a man in Budapest who went to a rabbi and he complained, "Life is unbearable. There are nine of us living in one room. What could I do?" And the rabbi answers, "Take your goat into the room with you." Well, the man was a little bit skeptical, and he wasn't sure about that. The rabbi insisted, "Do as I say and come back in a week." Well, a week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than ever. And he says, "We cannot stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." And the rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." And in a week, the man returns radiant and he says to the rabbi, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there is no goat, only nine of us in the room." Sometimes in the midst of difficulty, what we really need is just maybe a little bit different perspective. Sometimes. But you know, often life is just not easy. And yes, perspective can help. But a key thought that we've had throughout this series is this: God wants us to have bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. God wants us to have bold faith in the midst of these circumstances. God has given us this gift, the gift of faith, the gift to believe, to trust. An overarching theme of the Bible is this: God calling people to trust, to believe, and ultimately to have faith in Him. And so every day, people throughout the world are asking the question, should I trust, believe, and put my faith in God today or not? And God says, "Trust me, believe in me, listen to me, let me lead and guide your life today." And so, what do people do? It's one thing to do that, you know, to trust, to believe, and obey God when things are going pretty good. And that's when it's easy, you know. It's easy to exercise our faith when things are good. Things are great. Yay, God! Except when we get cocky and just forget God altogether. You know, things are so good, I don't even need you, God. You ever been there? Hello? But what about when life is not easy, when things are not going well? In fact, when life is hard. How easy is it to have bold faith and to hold on to our faith in times like that? Can it be done? Is it possible? Are there people who can help us to find the way? And that's what this series has been all about. It turns out that many of our biblical heroes, many of the people that we look up to, many of them struggled with difficulties. They struggled with difficulties, but they found a way to hold on to their faith. Each of our biblical heroes in this series found a way to hold on to their faith, even to thrive spiritually when it was tough. And guess what? With God's help, we can too. And remember, these people were not perfect. So often, you know, we think that if God is going to work with someone, they're going to have to be perfect. They're going to almost have to be without fault. But apparently, that's not the case. Abraham, remember? He made mistakes. Remember the circumstances surrounding Ishmael's birth? He and Sarah, his wife, they tried to help God out a little bit, kind of jumpstart the process. And yet Abraham, in the end, he learned to trust God, even when God told him, I want you to go to the land of promise, Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going, but he trusted and God blessed him for it. So Moses made mistakes. He even killed a man. And yet, he chose to identify with God's people rather than with Pharaoh's household. And so God used him to set his people free. What about Joseph? Joseph wasn't perfect. Remember, as a young man, this can happen, young people. As a young man, he was a little arrogant. He's a little bit full of himself. And his older brothers, you know, they'd had enough of it. And so what did they do? They sold him into slavery. And he ended up in Potiphar's house in Egypt. But while he's there, somehow he holds on to his faith. And then when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, he fled the temptation. Remember Esther, when she was confronted with the plot about the annihilation of her own people, she struggled with fear, what to do. But she found that she had spiritual allies who could pray for her and pray with her to help her to do the right thing. Remember when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem being broken down, Nehemiah got depressed. Eventually, he gave up his position as the king of Persia's cupbearer and other in order to return to Jerusalem and to try to help rebuild the sacred walls. The Apostle Paul, rather than wallow in all of his difficulties, he learned, you know what I can do? I can even boast in my weaknesses. He was able to say, you know, because of what God is doing within me, even when I am weak, then I am strong. Daniel was another one. He didn't compromise his convictions, his commitments, even though he had been carried away, far away in exile to Babylon. So all of these characters throughout this series, they all struggled, but they held on to their faith. So here's a question. What are you struggling with right now? What difficulty are you up against? What trial or problem seems like that it is going to just cave in on you? God wants you to hear these words. Don't give up. Don't give in. Amen. Hold on. Keep trusting. Keep believing. So the last hero that we're going to look at, the person who best exemplifies what it means to have bold faith, what it means to hold on to our faith in the midst of difficulties, is Jesus himself. Jesus, too, faced many difficult circumstances. Think about everything that he faced when he walked the earth. His family, first of all, they didn't quite know what to think about him. Kids, any of you guys got that problem? Your family doesn't quite know what to think about you? I think my parents had some of those spells from time to time. Jesus, his family all the time were trying to scratch in their head. We don't know what to think about him. His disciples rarely really understood what he was trying to tell them. Many people flocked to him, yes, but they flocked to him simply because of the miracles that he was performing. And those who should have been most aware of the implications of his ministry were often his toughest critics. He was the Son of God, and yet he was rejected by his own. He was the light of the world, and yet the power of darkness forever hounded him. He was truly divine, and yet they ultimately crucified him on a tree. So what can we learn about Jesus' example of having heroic faith, of having bold faith, even in the midst of difficult circumstances? Well, I would lift up a few things. First of all, I would say this. Jesus saw the big picture. Jesus had eyes to see past his immediate circumstances to the big picture of life. The scripture says he was the Word who became flesh. Amen? It also says he was with God from the beginning of creation. And it also says right now he is seated at the right hand of God, waiting for the culmination of God's eternal plan. Now that is big picture stuff. That is seeing the big picture. Jesus saw that. He lived from the perspective of the big picture. He knew what was most important. And so in Matthew 6:26, he said this to his followers. He said, "What profit is there if you gain the whole world?" And who are the people today out there running as fast as they can to gain the whole world if they could? What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared to the value of eternal life? There is nothing more important in this world than that you experience, that you find eternal life. There is nothing more valuable in this world than knowing in your heart that you have eternal life. Do you have it? Do you have that living water that is welling up within your spirit that says you are a child of God? You have eternal life. If so, you, my friend, are truly blessed. Truly blessed. But if you don't, do everything in your power to get it, to receive it. This present life is fleeting. It is temporary. It is here today and gone tomorrow. But eternity is forever. Eternity is the most important question you and I face. If you and I can get that one settled, so much about the rest of life just over time falls into place. Jesus had a big picture perspective about eternal life. He also had a big picture perspective about the power of love as well. Jesus came to show us God's love and to call us to share that love with other people. He told his disciples, remember in John 13:34, "A new command I give you." And what did he say? "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you..." This kingdom of God principle, love for one another, is so needed in our day and age. As Christ has loved us, we are called to love one another. When you think about what Christ has done for you, willingly giving up his life, and all that he has done for not only you, but for all people, it changes how you view other people. When you realize that, you know, all persons are persons of sacred worth, and that they, all of us, are worthy of God's love and grace and compassion, it changes how we treat one another. Hello? And even though there may be persons that we run onto in life that are different than we are in some way, some fashion, we are all in need of a Savior. Amen? We all need a friend like Jesus. Jesus saw the big picture. He said, "Eternal life, don't miss it." He said, "The law of love, don't forget it." Secondly, I would say this. Jesus looked past his present pain. With an eternal perspective and his communion with his heavenly Father, Jesus was able to look past his present pain. He didn't focus on his pain. He was able to look past it, and so can we with God's help. The prophet Isaiah, in one of the most vivid descriptions of this coming suffering servant Messiah, he prophesied about Jesus. He said this in Isaiah 53:3, "He was hated and rejected by people. He had much pain and suffering. People would not even look at him. He was hated. We didn't even notice him. But he took on our suffering. He took our suffering on him and felt our pain for us." Reality is, every one of us has pain because this world is a painful place. It is not a perfect world. Sin and death have entered into it and marred it. And so because of that, we all experience pain. Some of the deepest pain that we can experience is emotional pain or spiritual pain. We can feel lonely, rejected, hurt. Sometimes we can feel isolated, cut off, distance. Sometimes we're afraid or we're angry or we're upset. At times, there is no peace of mind. There is no joy in our soul. There is no love in our heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had days like that, seasons like that? Remember this, Jesus identifies with our pain. He identifies with our pain because he too had pain. In fact, he suffered because of our pain. Scripture says he took our suffering on him and he felt our pain for us. Jesus was able to look past his present pain because he knew that his own suffering was part of God's larger purpose. God's purpose was bigger than his suffering and pain. Have you ever considered the question, what is God's larger purpose for my suffering and pain? That is not an easy question to ask. We usually don't get to that question unless we've been walking with the Lord for a while. What is God's larger purpose for my suffering and pain? Think about the heroes of faith that we have been looking at through this series. Every one of them had their own suffering and pain. They had their own struggles, and yet, what do we see? God used those struggles and that pain for his larger purposes. He was with them. He brought them through it, and there was victory on the other side. So Jesus, he was able to look past his present pain because he could see God's larger purpose. The third thing that I would say about Jesus and his heroic faith, his practice of bold faith, is that he eyed the prize. He eyed the prize. Jesus knew the joy that awaited him. He communed with his Father. He knew his heavenly Father. And they had relationship. And he understood that God had this eternal plan that was unfolding. And he also understood that he had a very specific and significant part of fulfilling it. And so what did Jesus do? He stayed focused. He kept his eye on the prize. And with God's help, so should we. And that's what the author of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 was saying when he wrote these words, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the what? Who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus eyed the prize. He eyed the joy that had been set before him, and we should too, but sometimes it's not easy. Things happen. Circumstances look grim at work, at home, at school, in life, and in those moments, we're tempted to focus on our problems. And so without thinking about it, we're not looking at God. In fact, we're looking away from God. We're looking at our problems. We forget to trust. We fail to remember his ongoing presence and his faithfulness. So how many times in my own life have I pictured this huge mountain that seems to have just arisen out of nowhere, and it is huge, and I just don't see any way that I'm going to be able to get over it? And then God makes a way. So as I started St. Andrew's Methodist in Oklahoma City, that the church plant some 20-some years ago, one of the things that I was regularly doing, you know, is every time we might need a new staff member, I was wondering if we're going to find the right person. I mean, I would be in prayer. Lord, how's this going to work out? It is so critical that we find the right person. What if we don't find the right person? Oh, Lord, everything's going to fall apart. It's just going to be terrible. And so there I am in prayer, crying out in that way. And then what does God do? He ignores, I guess, my crying and my whining, and he just, you know, brings the right person. Anyhow, there they are. And I have to set back more times than not. I've had to set back and say, God, I'm so grateful that you put up with me. I am so grateful that you are the God, you know, who takes my mountains, and you either help me find a way over it or around it, or you're the God who just moves them out of the way. And I'm grateful that God helps us to move mountains. Well, Jesus saw the big picture. He looked past his present pain. He eyed the prize. And one more thing, Jesus gave us our mission. That's the wonderful thing about following Jesus. He has given us our mission. Every time that I hear of someone who, you know, we would think, man, that's a person who has it all. And then the next thing we hear is that for some reason they have taken their life. And we wonder, when I hear that, my heart grieves, as yours does as well. And we wonder, what happened? What happened? And sometimes I think, you know, did they not have a purpose larger than their struggle and larger than the pain? When we claim Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life, we are given meaning and purpose and a mission. Remember the man who was lame, and Jesus simply came to him and said, pick up your mat and walk. And I'm sure he was stunned, but he went ahead and picked it up and he began to walk, and pretty soon he realized what had happened. And I mean, that guy, you couldn't shut him up about it. Or remember the woman at the well. She said, come see a man who told everything that I've ever done. And the thing about it is, my story is not very pretty. It's not pretty at all. But knowing everything that he knows, he still offers me living water, and this living water that turns into eternal life. Remember the man born blind. Talk about a reason for despair. And he said in John 9:23, they're trying to pin him down about what had happened. And he said, I don't know if the man is a sinner or not. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And you could not hush that guy up. After you and I have been changed by the life-giving and life-transforming power of Jesus, we have meaning and purpose and a mission, and that is to tell others about it. I love it when our students come back from camp. They are fired up about what God has done, and they want to share about what God has done at camp. I love it when our Celebrate Recovery friends on Thursday nights, and sometimes here as well, share about what it is that God has done to set their feet on a solid rock instead of the slippery sand that they've had. When you have experienced the life-transforming power of Christ, you and I, when Christ has come through for you, you and I, we can't keep quiet about it. So to give us a simple picture of the mission, one time Jesus answered a question about the greatest commandment. It said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first greatest commandment. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. There it is. That is the mission. That's a lifelong purpose. Will you ever run out of opportunities to love God? Hey, every day is an opportunity to love God. And will you ever run out of neighbors whom you can love? Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. It's plentiful. It's the workers that are few. And who is your neighbor? Anyone that God brings your way in need. Jesus gave us a mission. Love God, love one another, And then, just before he returned to heaven, what did he do? The last thing that he told his followers was this in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Therefore, go and make what? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So right there, Jesus expanded the mission. Go, make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is unique in all the world because Jesus is unique in all the world. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Well, Jesus taught a lot of things about love and forgiveness and reaching out. And, you know, we ought to serve one another. We ought to care for one another. We ought to persist in faith, persist in prayer. We ought to be ready for his coming. If you are a Christ follower, you can never say, I am bored. Those words, if you are a Christ follower, those words should never come out of your mouth. You have a mission. You have a purpose. Jesus has given you a lifetime of things to do. So Jesus has shown us how to live heroic faith in the midst of difficulties. And he has shown us well because of who he is. He is the Son of the living God. What a friend we have. What a great example we have in Jesus. So when you are up against it, when you or I are trying to find the way forward in whatever the difficulty it is that you face, in your family, at work, with your friends, at school, in the church, in the midst of this fallen world, as you navigate, I would say this: stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus as you practice heroic faith, hope, and love. You can do no better in whatever circumstance you find yourself than to say, you know what? I'm staying close to Jesus. You're wondering, how should I respond in this circumstance? How should I move forward in what I'm up against? You stay close to Jesus. You purpose to stay close to him, to understand what he would do, what he would say, and you say, I'm staying close to Jesus. He is the true light who shines in the darkness. He is the living Lord, the eternal Savior. He is the one who will show you the way. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we thank you for the lives of all the witnesses that have gone before us. And we are grateful for the saints of old from the scriptures who teach us about life and exercising bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. But there's just something special about Jesus. He is our unique example in all the world because he came among us as your son. He pointed us to your kingdom, and he showed us the extent of your mercy and your love. And even in the face of his own difficult circumstances, what did he do? He kept the big picture of eternity in mind. And he looked past his pain. And he kept his eye on the prize. And because of it, we have the gift of salvation. We have the gift of eternal life. And he has given us, yes, a twofold mission: loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving our neighbors, ourselves, and making disciples of all peoples everywhere. Lord, we are so thankful for the reality of our relationship with Jesus. When we stay close to him, when we abide in him, he is the one who helps us to bear fruit, who gives us our mission, who helps us to find our way. In his name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.